5
4
3 2
1
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. This is the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. You know, if you're interested in tech, if you're dipping your toe in the water of the technology pool, then this is the place to come. With me are my seasoned swimmers. We have Sean Preece. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen. Bronze swimming certificate. Yes, I'm okay, thanks.
We've all got one. It's only because we try. And Tim Schwartz is also here. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Sean. It's all set with my life jacket, ready to go.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. We probably should be wearing life jackets in this program. Yes, hello and welcome once again. Do you know, it's been an incredible week. We've had so much going on the email, and it's all because of one particular app, and that is Seeing AI. The world is going crazy for this app.
As they should. It is amazing. I don't know why it is. It just is. It works so well.
I think that the anticipation after it was launched in the US so many months ago and it now going internationally, it's just exploded once again. So yeah, very rightfully so. People should be talking about this.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, in Potter's Picks coming up later, Claire Potter is back with us. I know you're all a huge fan of Claire, as we are. And she's going to be talking to us about something she apologized last week and said, this is just for the partially sighted people. Emma's really apologized about it, really apologetic about it. Well, look, don't apologize, Claire, because, you know, this show is for everybody. And, you know, it is so important that we talk about all different kinds of things. And this week, Claire's going to be talking about magnifiers. So I'm looking forward to talking about that, because I guess it comes back to that point again, doesn't it? Do you really need about all this technology, this other specialist technology, if you've got a smartphone that can do it all? That is, of course, and I should say this, if you've got a smartphone that can do it all. It's quite a key moment in our time with this. You know, we've got all this specialist tech out there that you can buy that is very useful. But then you ask yourself the question whether or not it's necessary to have that if you've got, like, say, a smartphone. Difficult, isn't it?
I'm not talking about this again, because every time I talk about it, we get into trouble. So, but no, I'm not even going to say anything. Carry on, Stephen.
Well, actually, it is a topic I want to bring up, and in particular this week, I thought we'd talk about it, because we have had a few emails about it. People getting in touch and saying, you know, look, you seem to constantly focus on the mainstream tech, and you don't give heed to specialist technology. Now, the one thing that we get criticised probably most for is our talk around the Victor Reader Stream and the new Victor Reader Trek. Now, I have to say, and I just want to say in my defence, before we get into all this, I'm not against any of these devices. I think these devices are great, and I understand why people buy them. And I get that if you compare costs, some people say, you know, we had an email this week from Greg in Pennsylvania who said to me, Stephen, you know, you're looking at the price all wrong. You know, if you think about what you're getting for your money, compare that to spending, what is it, £1,000 now for a smartphone or £800 for a smartphone. You can get a Victor Reader Trek for less than that. That's perhaps true. But at the same token, my view is you're getting less for your money. Because, I think that's the problem is that we're comparing here. You can't compare a Victor Reader Trek to an iPhone, and we shouldn't do that. Or an Android phone, for that matter. We shouldn't ever compare them.
But, see, we're treading so carefully here, not to upset people.
No,
but
I don't do that. No, I'm not. I genuinely am not. What I'm saying is that I think it's important that we talk about the merits of this technology, and I am absolutely for it. I would never say don't buy something, because what I might not like, you might love. And I think that's absolutely fair. What I will say is that I think that what I'm looking at here is the overall cost over a lifetime. The amount of money that you would spend. And okay, forget accessibility for a minute. Look at a smartphone and then think about your desk at home 10 years ago and all the bits of kit that you had on your desk that have now turned into apps on your phone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the way the mainstream world has gone. You know, you don't have a physical camera, but equally, if you want a camera, go and buy one and you'll get a really good camera.
I think that is what we're saying. We've said on many occasions, look, these are great bits of kit. But when it comes to the price, the smartphone is more of a all-rounder. There's apps that can do lots of different things. Now, that's not to say that a specialized bit of kit is worse than a smartphone or a particular app. If you've got a particular need that that specialized kit can fulfill, then fantastic. It's great. But for us, as I've been saying, this is just our opinion that I would think that the smartphone can give you more variety to tasks and you know, apps, as I keep saying.
But what do you think of all this, Tim? Come in on this. You've got to make some sense of all of this for us.
Well,
he doesn't want to.
Don't get involved.
Well, picking up on what you said just a moment ago, Stephen, where you said, you know what, we really can't or shouldn't compare something like a Victor Reader, a Stream, or a Trek to an iPhone or to a smartphone. And I say I have to disagree with that because, like you and Sean were just talking about, there's so many things that the Victor Reader, Trek, or Stream can do that I can do with apps on my phone. And so I think it's a natural comparison to say, okay, the GPS functions in the Victor Reader, Trek, what can I do that's similar, worse, better, or what have you on my phone? The audiobook, you know, playback, the Daisy book playback, all the different things that a Victor Reader, Trek can do. There are apps on my phone that I can do that with, multiple apps, quite honestly, that I can do those same things with. And so I think it's fair to compare the two when it comes to those functions, when it comes to what each of them can do. And then, of course, it's going to be natural to say, well, who's this going to be for? Who's this price going to be targeted to? Is this a better deal? Is this something over time that's going to be a better deal? You were saying that, well, you know, it's a little bit cheaper to get the Victor Reader Trek. Well, yeah, retail at $700. And that's not far off your average, you know, iPhone. Your iPhone 7 or 8 is around $600-$700 or more, you know, of course, if you want to add more memory. So we're talking about the same price range. And as you just said, for less functionality in something like this. Now, again, where we've gotten in trouble, I think, is to not.
Oh, but, I'm scared.
Well, let me finish. Where we, I think, are getting in.
This is Tim. Tim is saying this, everyone.
You can send emails to me. That's fine. But I think where we're getting in trouble is that people aren't maybe hearing us, even though we have said it, maybe we're not saying it emphatically enough, that even though we feel that there are these differences and we feel that for our money, for about the same price or so, we would be more comfortable or we like using the apps on our phone or smartphone compared to a specific tech like this. However, as Stephen said, and as we have all said many times, does that make it wrong to buy a Victor Reader Trek? Absolutely not. I used to have a Victor Reader Stream. I enjoyed it quite a bit. But once I got my iPhone, I didn't look back because it was better for me. But for somebody who wants something that's tactile, they want something that's specific to these functions and they don't want to have to use their iPhone for those things for whatever reason, that's fine. And if they're wanting to choose to spend that money on that device, that's great. I think it's good to have options. I think that the more options, the better. We're seeing this recently with this year with the boom in Braille options, especially the lesser expensive Braille options. It's an amazing time we're in when it comes to Braille displays and the low-cost Braille displays. I think the more competition there is good. But you can still plug a Braille display into an iPhone. You know, so it's the same kind of thing. It's just, what do you want to have and why do you want to have it and what's best for your use case? And so I think that there's nothing wrong with that.
We should get our contributor on for this because, you know, this is why we brought him on to discuss it.
Yes.
And we're discussing it. Robin Christofferson is from AbilityNet. He's head of inclusion there for digital accessibility. And he joins us now. Hi, Robin.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Robin.
Good to have you here. we're having a bit of a debate here on the show, as you're probably aware of. Technology specialist versus mainstream is ultimately the question. Now, I guess you might say it because you're a bit of a diplomat, Robin. I have to say, this is why I wanted you on the show because I knew you'd referee this conversation well. That's going to end up being me
going to arbitration,
Sean. Yeah, exactly. That's it. But I think it's so important that we sort of talk about this. But I think we should maybe kick it off by saying, is there such a thing as a need for a debate around specialist versus mainstream? Or should we actually say, well, you know what? There's options out there. Choose what works for you.
So I think it's worth setting the scene. And I know you guys have covered this on many occasions. And, you know, the Victor Reader Stream is a case in point. But, you know, a bit of scene setting not too long ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I had a backpack full of stuff. And it cost an arm and a leg. And each one had a separate charger. You know, Trekker Breeze, £750. The Book Courier, do you remember that? That was £275. Yeah. Oh, yeah. talking barcode scanner, talking note taker, all of these things. So that's the kind of context for me. And I'm a huge fan of the fact that us blind people can do things that we couldn't do before in a way that is mainstream. Things that are that used to be relatively limited. They were good at what they did, but often they weren't updated very often, and they certainly cost a lot of money, can now be done with, for example, a smartphone. And last week you were talking about if you've got a smartphone, you know, and you mentioned £700, Stephen. That is absolutely true. In fact, you could pay £1,200 for an iPhone these days. Uh-huh. But I just checked in the store, and the SE starts at £349, and you know, Seeing AI, that is all the latest hotness, runs well on that. Or you could get something like a 6S for somewhere in between, you know, around the £500 or £600 mark. And you can get a lot of refurbished ones as well that Apple do that are as good as new for even less. So I just want to throw that in there, because I think what it boils down to in many people's minds is smartphone versus specialist when we're talking about mainstreaming of,
yes,
of tech. So I just wanted to get the baseline here. Smartphones, I think, are affordable. They can be hugely expensive as well if you want the latest thing. But the main argument that it comes down to is how usable, how acceptable a sheet of glass, a device that's, you know, driven by a sheet of glass would be to some users. So whilst the three of us here, totally into our smartphones, for some people, the Victor Reader Stream would be the only choice. And I'm thinking of my mum. She doesn't have a mobile talking book solution, but she does have those big talking book machines that you slip the CD into, and it's got the big buttons on it.
Yep.
And that's how she consumes all of her talking books, and that's all it does.
Okay, all right, okay. But here's the thing. Now, since we'll use our mothers here, because this is always the case, isn't it? I do my mum test with a lot of technology. You know, can my mum work it out? If she can work it out, anybody can work it out. And she's got full vision, and she can use nothing in regards to tech. However, I remember one year buying her a Kindle Fire. At the time, the tablet was just out. You know, I thought this would be a great entry point for her. I wasn't going to go out and buy an iPad for her because, you know, it was a lot of money. And I wasn't sure if she was going to use it. So, you know, it seemed like £100 made sense. Anyway, she never used it. It got sold. And I thought, well, that's that then. I've tried her on tablets. And anyway, I bought my dad an iPad for Christmas one year, far more into his technology. And I'd gone into the house, and there was my mother playing away with the iPad, and she was using it. And even though as she's using it, she's telling me, I don't know how any of this stuff works. I don't know anything at all. She was able to get in and out of apps. And because what I did was I showed her that you could play solitaire on it. And she loves solitaire. So yeah, she played solitaire on it all the time. And that got her into using it. And I've made this argument on the show before. And it was a long time ago. I remember making this argument because I know people who've said on this program and on others, you know, it's all very well saying this, Stephen, but, you know, there are people out there who just don't know how to use smartphones, who can't use smartphones. Now, I get that there's physical reasons why people can't use smartphones. I mean, I've had a lot of people struggle with the double tapping and being able to move around the screen because, you know, maybe your hands are shaking. And that is something which is a definite reason why you would want to look at alternative options. And there are other options out there. But what I would say is there are even other smartphone options out there. Like the Capsys Vision 2 smartphone, which is a smartphone, but it has a physical keyboard. So you can go down the smartphone route and have all the functions and all the joys of using a smartphone, but you don't have to have a glass screen. So that's an option that's out there. And I think you're right. I think it comes to that question of what do you want to do? But what I would then go, you know, and that's often the case. You go into a computer shop and someone says to you, what do you need this computer for? You'll say, well, I'm going to do some word processing, I'm going to do some emails, I'm going to do some internet browsing. That's fine. But what you need to ask yourself is what the capability is in the future. I don't want to then have to go out and buy another machine to do all the things I've found out I could do. I'd rather buy the machine now and be done with it. I've got the device. All the capability lies before me. It's just up for me to learn. Don't you think that's more important, that people actually learn the technology, the mainstream tech that everybody's using? Is that not good to get on board?
I think we're a wonderful variety of people in the blind community. And I mean, my mum, I bought an iPod Touch because my sister, as well as being blind, she's also got very significant, severe MS. And so she can't, she's only got her voice, basically. She can't control anything any other way. And that's why the Echo is such a fantastic boon for her. But in the, a while ago, I got an iPod Touch. I put this app called Vocal, V-O-K-U-L, which at the time was the only way to get really good comprehensive voice control over a lot of different functions, as long as you sort of were within the app. And I thought at the same time, well, my mum could use it to access podcasts. Homefront, I would strongly recommend that one. And she had a few that she wanted to, you know, be able to listen to The Archers when she wanted to, etc. She could not get to grips with this app at all. Downcast is my favourite podcatching app.
Yep.
But the whole idea about double tapping on something takes you down to the next level, and you know, double tap at the top left of the screen or do a two finger scrub. There was only three levels to this app: the main podcast list, then you tap into a list of podcasts, and then you tap into the now playing screen. The hours that I sat down with her trying to get these concepts in there. So there will always be edge cases. Now, I am definitely a fan of mainstreaming wherever possible. I think if I had to sum it up in that, it would be, if you can go mainstream, it most times are going to be cheaper. Although I was amazed that last week there was that talking blood pressure monitor that was actually cheaper than some sort of connected ones, which would be the other way that a blind person. So smart devices aren't always perhaps the best option. So if specialist can be affordable and can be current, because that is my main quibble with specialist devices, apart from the price, is that they're just not updated and they don't, you know, represent the latest technologies. So if you had a specialist device, I won't name it, but that would do something very similar to Seeing AI and that costs an absolute fortune, will it do as well as Seeing AI? If it does today, will it do in 6 months' time? Because Seeing AI is going to improve all the time, whereas these specialist ones. So, you know, they're out there, and you've got to be so careful about mainstream versus specialist. You've got to evaluate each one in turn. And if the particular person in question has the aptitude for a smartphone with the solution, you know, the alternative solutions on there, then definitely explore that. Perhaps, you know, in the first instance.
I think that's an interesting point. I want to say, Robin, about, you know, when you started off here, you said you had a backpack full of equipment. I think we all remember that, a piece of hardware to do a specific task, and you had to cart all that stuff around with you. But would you say, looking back, the specialized equipment that you had there, did they do that specific task better than, you know, like a jack of all trades smartphone, an app to do that specialist task?
So let's talk about the Trekker Breeze. A moment ago, I didn't mention a particular product, but what the heck, you know, let's mention the Trekker
Breeze. Let's go for it.
So that, I don't think, did as well as Blind Square on a phone.
Ooh,
so,
controversial.
You know, put that out there. So I would, you know.
But that's your view.
It might
that's
depend.
Your experience.
There have been some note takers that have, you know, been an absolute fortune and perhaps haven't had as much functionality as some more mainstream ones back then even. So you just got to evaluate each one. And when you're in the assistive technology world, it really does pay to have some assistance out there to kind of help you make those decisions. And the RNIB obviously do that, AbilityNet do that in other areas of disability as well, because it is a bit of a minefield. And we do all know of people that have spent hundreds or thousands of pounds on something when, admittedly, you know, your own personal choice, you wouldn't have gone down that route, but you're not 100% sure if it was actually the best thing for that person either.
Can I also put a word in here for access to information as well? I think this is a key thing, and we certainly try to give as much information as we can here on the podcast. And yes, I believe someone did tell me once there are other podcasts that do this. I don't believe them. cannot possibly be true. But yeah, you know, apparently there's other ones. And, you know, we talk about technology and we try to talk about it and give as much information about this tech as possible. But that is the problem, isn't it? If you are sitting there and you have a particular task you want to achieve and someone says to you, oh, if you get this specific piece of specialist tech, this will do it for you, then you'll probably just go, okay, well, that's what I need to buy. Because there's nowhere you can really go to research beyond that. You know, if you can't walk into a store and get access to all the knowledge about the specialist versus the mainstream tech. And that's why I think that conversation, it's not to be combative. It's not to say it's one or the other. It's to say specialist versus mainstream, for me anyway, is what is best for me. That's really the tag that needs to be added on the end of it. It's not just about, well, specialist is better or mainstream is better, end of story, because that's not true. There are so many examples of technology out there that I've used over the years that I would say is better. I would say a magnifier, we'll talk about magnifiers later with Claire Potter, but, you know, magnifiers are so much better than the magnifiers on the phone because of what they are, because of how they're built. So, physically they're better. But, you know, it might be the case that it's more expensive to have a magnifier than use the app on the phone. But then if you get better results, it's worth it in that case. So,
particularly in a professional capacity where productivity is all important.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So it's about finding the balance.
And I think that there is so much out there and it's moving so quickly that information, like you say, is absolutely key. So, you know, podcasts like this, programs like this are invaluable. Getting in touch with the RNIB or AbilityNet, you know, that it's their full-time job to try and keep abreast of it.
I mean, it's what do you want it to be? You know, where do you want your technology to go? I mean, we get so many emails from people who say, well, you know, I'd rather have the specialist kit because that's more relevant to me and it's something I can use and that's great. But as you say, Robin, you know, technology moves on at such a level now that, you know, it's very hard to keep up. And the technology companies that make the specialist technology are years behind in some cases, not in all cases, but in some cases, you know, that technology has not and would not be upgraded because it's not feasible for the companies to go out and remake the talking microwave or whatever it might be. Because really, what's the point in upgrading it? What's the cost implications are huge. And, you know, are people going to buy a new talking microwave every 6 months? Probably not.
Now, I think it's worth saying that at AbilityNet, we're not about tech for tech's sake. You know, we don't want to push the latest hotness on people. If the device they've got, whether it's specialist or mainstream, is still working for them and it ain't broken, then we definitely wouldn't try to, you know, impose the latest gadgets on them. So, but you're absolutely right. 9 times out of 10, the mainstream is going to be moving forward at a much faster pace.
Just before you go, I want to talk about your brilliant podcast that you do. You seem to have amassed, I think it's about 8 million skills now on that podcast, at least. The Dot to Dot podcast, which explains to people all about the Echo Dot and its skills. And skills are the key things. It's almost like apps, if you like, isn't it, for your Echo device. Without skills, you really are just asking what's the time and what's the weather. Skills give it so much more capability, but you set up this podcast, which we I'd like to say actually Tech Talk is
you guys, we're the cause of it.
We began.
I'll blame you.
Yeah, it's all my fault. But yeah, you kind of took it on and you got a podcast out of it. So what I'm wondering is, when do we get a cut out of that? The proceeds are always welcome, Robin.
You can have what about 50% of everything that I make.
where can people find this podcast?
Yeah, so in any podcatching app, you go to just search for Dot to Dot. That's just three separate words. Or just search for Dot to Dot podcast in Google or something. It's in iTunes. It's everywhere, really. And if you've got an Echo of any flavor, then just ask her to play it and she will.
Fantastic. Oh, of course, yeah. Just ask the Echo Dot to play. How wonderful. Yeah. Listen, that is so good of you to come on. And thanks so much, Robin.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Robin. And if you have a view that you would like to share with us, then we'd love to hear from you. We really do. This is the program that gives you the opportunity to voice your thoughts. You know, just because we're saying it doesn't make it gospel. Trust me on that.
I don't know.
No, come on, Sean. Behave yourself. You know, we're good, but we're not that good. Okay, well, let's now turn to one of our listeners' favorite features, and that is Potter's Picks. Claire Potter back with us once again. Hello, Claire.
Hi.
Player has three items under £100, which we're going to be talking about this week. And every week we do this on the show, and it's great because we get to talk about all kinds of things. This week, Claire, it's all about magnifiers.
It sure is about magnifiers. So it's something that's not even going to benefit me today, believe it or not. So for one, I'm thinking about other people.
Oh, how nice.
Weird is that?
That's nice.
There we go. First one, Aaron Ivy shop. This is called the Illuminated Sliding Pocket Magnifier. It is 10 times magnification. The code for it is MAG97. The price is $28.95. The other, you slide the lens out of the protective case and the LED lights automatically turn on. The circular lens measures 3.5 centimeters in diameter. It's also available in 3.5 times, 5 times, and 8 times magnification.
Yeah, no,
I really like that one.
I do like that. And actually, when I bought a magnifier, and this is why I was interested in this week. I bought a magnifier a couple of weeks ago at the R&IB shop. And that was one of the ones I looked at, because what I liked about it was tiny. You could put it in your pocket, and you know, it was about the size of your eye. Well, I say that. I mean, it's a bit bigger than that, I guess. But you know, in the sense of
eye, that's the question.
Yeah, who's right? But you know, if you think about using, if you were holding it up to your eye, it would almost be the size of maybe a monocle, kind of thing.
Wow.
Never thought I'd compare anything to a monocle in my life, but there you go.
Cutting edge, Stephen. Yeah,
that's
monocles.
Actually pretty impressive, because, I mean, this was 10 times magnification, so honestly, it's really hard to imagine something really small like that doing 10 times magnification, so I'm quite impressed by that. I mean, I can't really see how big it is, but it's impressive from the way you describe it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it's great. But what I would say is, if you're going to buy a magnifier, try and get into a shop, or, you know, get an appointment with a low vision aids clinic or something. Don't just go and buy one, because, or you know, I wouldn't advise just going off and buying one online or whatever. Check them first, because what I learned very quickly is that the magnification really does matter. Sean, do you use any magnifiers?
I do, but purely as an app now. Of course, now there's one built into iOS 11. But yes, they are really useful. Like you say, the small ones, I used to always carry one around in my pocket. But yeah, I haven't used one in a long time. I still think they're slightly expensive for what they are, to be honest.
It's a lot of money. I got mine in a sale. That's why I bought it. Okay.
Of course you did.
How did I know that?
Yeah. So always a sale price with me. Right, what's number two on your list?
Okay. Again, this is from the R&IB shop. It's called the Mono Mouse Electronic Video Magnifier. The code for this is HC26, and the price is £89. This is economically designed, and the mono mouse connects to your existing TV, enlarging images on text, making them easy to see. The mono mouse provides three modes of reading, which are regular mode, reverse mode, which is pure white text on black background, and enhanced mode, which is pure black text on white background. It's very quick and easy to install. By plugging the mono mouse into any regular television, and your television becomes a powerful low vision aid instantly.
I really like this one. How much do you say it was?
This one is £89.
That seems like a bargain.
This technology is great. I mean, it's very basic stuff, and this has been out for a long time. I remember this was, it used to be called, maybe a different company, I don't know, but it used to be that I had one called the Easy Reader, which was very similar. And basically, it was a little unit that would sit next to your TV. It would plug in via either a SCART cable, you know, the big sort of long flat cable.
SCART
remember
cable.
Remember those? And or you know, those of our RGB
I'm too young
cables.
For this. I don't remember this.
I know you're too young for this. I know.
Right, well, get her off.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You've been fired. No, I have to say, no. I think this is quite interesting, because you know, you plug this thing in and you can then read documents and all that if you've got enough sight to see it. CCTV on the cheap. I like it. Right. Okay. So what else?
Okay, my final one is from Cobalt, and this is called the A4 Sheet Magnifier. It is $16.95. This A4 Sheet Magnifier has 2 times magnification and comes with 2 stands, which can be folded flat for easy storage, and they are both height adjustable. It is ideal for paperwork, books, magazines, and craftwork. You can order this one by calling 01493 700172, or you can go to www.cobalt.co.uk.
That sounds pretty good. So you just put this over text?
by the sounds of it, you just place it over your paper and you can have it magnified. It's only twice the magnification though, so it's not like 8 times or 10 times or anything like that. You just get 2 times magnification with it.
Well, to me, it sounds like one of those, you know, you used to get A4 sheets that were magnifying glasses in themselves. They are useful, though. They can be useful.
Tim, did you ever use any of these kind of magnifiers when you had a bit more sight?
I did. I almost always had a handheld magnifier with a little light, you know, in it that I would carry in my pocket. And I think it was maybe 10 or 12 times just as a handheld. And then, of course, I had a video magnifier that was much bigger that I'd throw in a backpack and take around. But I really like these options because, like Sean said before, some of these can get very expensive. Even just a small handheld magnifier that I used to carry around was probably, you know, anywhere from 75 to 100 pounds. And it just gets so expensive. But like the second one that Claire was talking about with it connecting to a television, when she first mentioned the price, I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. But then all the things that it can do now, this is really intriguing. If I had any vision at all, these would be really, really interesting and I think very useful for me if I could use them, yeah.
Claire, brilliant list as always. One certainly to think about. You know, when you said you were going to talk about magnifiers, I thought, okay. Actually really impressed with that list. So thank you so much.
Oh, brilliant.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
And just a quick note on next week, Claire, what's your theme?
Braille.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm intrigued. Under £100. Have you managed that? Is it secondhand?
Not telling. It's confidential.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that next week. Thanks, Claire.
Thanks very much.
Right, so I want to get to some emails that you've been sending in, and a lot of them this week surrounding seeing AI. You know, you would think they're all praise, and some of them are, but there's been some interesting conversation here on the email that I wanted to share. So first up, let's say hello to Rachel, who got in touch with us. Rachel says, I just wanted to add my comments regarding the long-awaited Seeing AI app, which I've been messing around with now for about a week. On the whole, I have to agree with many others in saying that the free app, for a free app, it is absolutely fantastic. What more could we ask for, really? It has everything sorted, whether we need the mail reading, food items, barcodes, and even telling us who's around. Now let me talk about the problem that I'm having. Minor one. And it's actually nothing to do with the app itself. I've never had any useful vision, except for a bit of light perception, and I'm having huge difficulties with positioning the camera correctly, even when I am receiving the verbal instruction that Seeing AI provides. I can't help feeling that at the moment, I seem to be the only VI person who seems to struggle so badly with camera positioning techniques. I've listened to many demos of the app that have been carried out by those with next to no vision, and they seem to manage perfectly well. I have the same issues when using similar apps such as TapTapC, basically any app that involves positioning the camera on the iPhone in order to take a picture of what needs to be read. I just wondered if you guys or any other listeners might be able to come up with some ways to help me get my camera in the right position to take an accurate picture. One thing's for sure, I'm absolutely not giving up with this anytime soon. I'm determined that soon the days of being forced to have sighted assistance with reading print will be far behind me. Many thanks, guys. I look forward to any ideas anyone might have. Keep up the fantastic show. Right, good question. Now, Tim, you're the one with us who's got no vision at all, no useful vision. So what do you do to help line up your camera?
Fortunately, I haven't had these same issues that Rachel seems to be having. Typically, what I do is if I'm scanning a full sheet, and it sounds like that's what she's talking about, is scanning a full-size document or sheet of paper, knowing that the camera is in that upper right-hand corner, I will try to start laying my phone down with that camera viewer in the middle of the page, and then slowly pull up from there. And that usually seems to work for me if I have the page laying on a flat surface. Now, that being said, I am involved here locally with a iDevice group, if you were kind of like a fan group, and I go and talk and give, you know, give advice and help the people.
Fanboy.
And a fanboy group, we'll say it fine. It's an Apple fanboy group, but it's for all different levels. So from people that just got their phone, you know, recently to people that have had it for years. And so there's all walks of life in there. And someone did bring to our attention a stand, and I don't have the information on it now, but I can get it for next time. But there's a stand you can get on Amazon for maybe 10, 15 pounds, give or take. Not very expensive, maybe even less than that. And you can put your phone in it, almost like a cradle, and it will point perfectly downward at the document, and it lines it up very nicely. It puts it just as far away as it needs to be. It'll line it up just nice. So if she's having issues doing it manually just by hand, something like that might help. So she can look for something like that on Amazon or online. But yeah, otherwise, I don't usually have much of a problem.
That's a great idea. That stand you're talking about is called the Giraffe Reader.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You can get it here in the UK under Comprom Services from Steve Nutt there. I think you can also get it online as well. I mean, it's essentially a piece of plastic that you put your phone into. I mean,
it is. Yeah, it's not very complicated, right?
No, not at all. But actually, you're right. That's a brilliant way. My wife and I both thought about getting one of those because I quite like the idea of using it as a CCTV. Because here we go again. You know, I have a CCTV and it's great. And it's from Humanware, and I love it. It's a Prodigy 2, and it's brilliant. But, you know, it's huge in comparison to my phone and a Giraffe Reader. All I'm saying. Moving on quickly. So thanks, Rachel. I hope that helps. Hi there, team. And I've been registered blind for a long time. But up until 2 weeks ago, I still had some useful vision. There has been a sudden deterioration in my sight that happened over 48 hours. So I'm now having to adapt and rely entirely on screen readers and talkie apps. I can only sympathise with you on that one. I think we've all gone through that, and it's hell, quite frankly.
Yep.
As I live on my own, and therefore reading mail is now a problem, I recently downloaded the new Seeing AI app onto my iPhone 7. Everyone seems to be very taken with it, but I'm wondering if it would be possible for you to do a feature on how it works and how to use it. I've had a go at scanning documents and letters, but seem to be making a bit of a pig's ear out of it. I've also tried scanning tins out of the cupboard, but again, don't seem to be getting brilliant results. I realise that the app is probably quite basic to use, but I'm afraid I'm a bit compromised when it comes to getting used to new techie stuff. Also, could you give an opinion on the KNFB reader? I've only seen it demonstrated once very briefly and would consider buying it if you think it is worth the money in terms of its accuracy, ease of use, versatility, blah, blah, blah. I am virtually hyperventilating at the idea of spending £100 on an app, so I want to be sure it would be worth the money. How do you feel KNFB compares to Seeing AI? And my final question, and I'm sorry there's so many, not at all. Could you recommend a GPS app I could use to help me navigate my way around now that I'm using my white cane with hardly any sight? If the standard app on the iPhone works sufficiently for someone who's blind, would it be possible for you to do a feature on this and talk through the basics of how it works, please? Your show is incredible, and I'm not just saying that. I learn about accessible technology that I can use every single week by listening, and, well, it is kind of giving me hope that it is still possible to enjoy life and be independent, even though I now only have light perception. I've just bought an Amazon Echo, which should arrive tomorrow, and I've been re-listening to your older podcasts about Alexa, how to set it up, and skills, etc. There, I've just set mine off. I've also treated myself to an Amazon Fire Stick, and so I'm still able to enjoy TV through using this and with the aid of audio description. Also, final question, I promise, where on Netflix can I find... This is the one of my emails. Final question, I promise, where on Netflix can I find a list of all programs that have audio description, and also where can I find a list of Amazon videos and programs that are audio described? Thanks so much for the show and for all the fantastic information and features you keep us informed about. The show and your cheery personalities are helping keep me going. Hope you are all well and not working too hard. Love and thanks, Faith in Swansea. Well,
that was an amazing email. Thank you.
It was very good, yeah.
Yeah. Faith, I have to say, so brave of you to write that down and say that. You know, and I think it's fair that you're among friends here. You know, so we get it, we really do, and you know, I think what you're going through at the moment is hell, and it is difficult, of course it is, and if we can make it feel in some ways that it's possible for you to continue with everything you did before, then that's great. I mean, what I often say to people is you can do the things you want to do, you just do them a bit differently. Whether it's reading a book or whether it's going online or using a computer or whatever it is, you can do it. And, you know, thankfully, and this is one thing where all our camps of division can come together, you know, irrespective of your of any choice of technology that you choose to buy, having the choice that is out there now, which wasn't there 10, 15 years ago, is just incredible. You can buy any computer from any store. You can buy any phone from any store, and it will have some kind of accessibility built in. Now, you can then dig into the what's best, what's not, but actually the fact that you can buy technology and that technology is accessible to you. But, you know, as Faith brings up a really interesting point in this, it's all very well having all this accessible technology, but how does it work? What does that mean? And I guess that's our job to do that. So, yeah, all these points you've made about features, Sean will do. Right. So
look,
Sean.
I've got
good
to say, luck. When you're starting out with something like this, you're saying, you know, you're having trouble with things. It's perfectly natural. It takes time, and everything seems like, oh, I'm never going to get the hang of this. I'm never going to be able to do it. And, you know, after a while, it just, you just get it, and you're able to do it. Seeing AI is, I haven't used Seeing AI with KNFB. Has anyone used that?
Not with KNFB, no.
I mean, as a comparison, I haven't tried that yet, the document side of it.
I haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but I have heard others that have done it, and they are pretty close. And there is good news with KNFB right now. It is 50% off until the end of the year for Christmas. So anybody who is looking to get it, it is on sale 50% off. But that being said, Seeing AI is so good and so close for free, it does make it hard to even go at Seeing or go at KNFB Reader even at 50% off.
So what are the benefits then? What are the benefits of having KNFB Reader over Seeing AI? I mean, you've got KNFB Reader, Tim.
It's a very powerful app. There are more options when it comes to the alignment and the tilt and the feedback that you get from it when you're tilting your phone or aligning your phone to the document. There are some who do say that it might be a little bit more accurate, and that's what you're paying for. But honestly, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, budget is an issue, or I'm just hoping to get it close, you know, and want it to be pretty close, I really can't tell a person to spend as upward to £100 or even right now 50% off even for KNFB Reader when Seeing AI is so good for free. So it, before this, I would say absolutely. KNFB Reader is a fantastic app. Even for the £100, it's fine. You know, for everything you're going to need, the way it walks you through everything is so good, and the features are so rich, go for it. But Seeing AI makes that hard for me to continue that recommendation.
Yeah, I think I would say KNFB is very much, if you've got a lot of scanning to do, it really does take the lead over it. There's the batch mode and things like that, and you can process various images at once. But for every day, just reading the mail, like I say, I haven't done a side-by-side yet, but from what I hear, Seeing AI for just reading things like your post and, you know, casual things like that is meant to be very good. So it is a tricky one. I will do a side-by-side comparison to check that out. I have done a KNFB review and demonstration before. It should be in the Tech Talk features feed in your favorite podcast catcher.
I deleted it.
Thank you.
I'm only kidding. Can I just say, though, on the point that Faith makes about using the Seeing AI app, I agree. I had a few issues at the start just trying to work out how to hold things and all of that. What I did find, and actually typical me, I guess, my wife found the instructions before I did, and she actually read them. Basically, you get tutorial videos, which I couldn't find at first, but then my wife showed me where they were. There are tutorial videos that are actually inside the app, and those can help guide you through each of the different, what they call, channels. So you've got short text, and you've got the product channel, and you've got the scene channel, or whatever it is. You know, you've got all those different channels. You can find them. You can find tutorials within that. So that might be a good place to start if you want to get into it right away, Faith.
Yeah, definitely. When you install it, there are step-by-step tutorial there you can go through. I don't know how Stephen missed it, but he did.
Yeah.
When it comes to a GPS app, there are a lot of options out there.
Apple Maps.
Well, is that meant to be, were you being sarcastic there?
But I find it very useful. I think
Apple Maps is fine.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's got a bad reputation from when it started, but actually it is fine. It can do everything you need it to do. Google Maps is another good one. If you want to go down the paid and more specific apps, I really do like Blind Square, slightly different sort of GPS app, but I find it really useful for finding out what's around you. Blind Square is excellent.
Yeah, for the type of information the Blind Square provides, yes, it's going to cost a little bit. And if somebody is willing to pay for it, I think that it's going to be worth the investment if you're looking for more information about your surroundings, finding out what's nearby, what's coming up, you know, those kind of things. Then it also has more information because it obviously ties into Foursquare, so you can get menus for restaurants and phone numbers and addresses and all kinds of different things, not just your walking directions or general travel directions. So there's a lot to it. It is very feature rich, but again, you are going to pay for it. So something simple like Apple Maps or Google Maps is just fine. But I really like Blind Square.
Yeah, I don't know about Blind Square. I mean, I like it. I know. I did buy it at the time. I think it cost £20 on the App Store.
Something like that. Yeah, I think it's 10 or 15 when I picked it up.
Yeah, and it's good. It just is bizarre to me because it reads everything. It just tells you everything that's going on all the time. And if you're walking down as I was walking through a train station, it was telling me about places that were actually outside the train station. It was completely baffling to me where things were. And it, you know, like it would say at 10 o'clock, this happening at 1 o'clock, and at 20 past 4, and you're like, what? So I was a bit bemused by it. But yeah, it is good. I have to say, I always use the Apple Maps app because what I like about it is with the Siri attachment, I was looking for a pharmacy the other day, and it was on the main road. And I knew there was one around. You know that way you just know there's some. I know there's a pharmacy on this street, but where is it? And I just said, find nearest pharmacy. It did. And I remembered it said, I think the name of the pharmacy was Reach. So I said, right, okay, that's the one. And I tapped on it. And it then guided me to the door.
Whoa, I find that very hard to believe. To the door?
Pretty much. I mean, even said when I got to the door, you've arrived.
Well, that's amazing. Well, I got to say, look, I find GPS really useful for getting me in the general direction, knowing what street I am, getting me in the general area. I was in Media City, UK the other month, and I was there for about 4 hours. I thought, that's okay, I'll find something to eat. There's lots of places around here. Opened up all my GPS apps. Yeah, there's a thing over here and a chippy over there. Didn't find anything. Wandering around in a circle for 4 hours. Could smell it. Could not find the place. It was so frustrating and annoying.
You should have used your nose.
I was banging off windows like an angry wasp. I could not find the places. You know, it was handy for getting me there, but to actually find a door to a place and actually find it.
Oh, come on. It's never going to help you find the door.
Why not? Why not? It should do. That's exactly what it should do. It should need better mapping data.
I absolutely agree, but it's not going to get there anytime soon. It's certainly not going to get there by the time you've stopped being hungry, which will be never.
And so as you guys retreat to your corners, to pick up on her last question about Netflix and finding audio-described content, Netflix, I think, is good when it comes to the app. You guys can tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, but the app, you can go in the browse menu, I believe it is, and under categories.
Yes.
And the very last category I think is listed is audio description or audio described. And so you can find it that way. Now, I don't think that's available on the Apple TV version of the app. It's only on the smartphone version of the app.
You can get it on the Apple TV.
You can now.
Well.
Okay. I knew for a while you couldn't. And so I wasn't sure. So yeah, Netflix does a good job at getting you at least a category for audio description. Unfortunately, right now, as far as I know, Amazon does not. So you do have to kind of hunt and pack and search and maybe just search the internet. There are websites out there that are listing these described shows and movies as they're coming out. So just do a Google search for audio described content on Amazon or Netflix and you'll find it. But yeah, Netflix is good with that. Unfortunately, Amazon's got to catch up on that.
Faith, thank you so much for the email. And, you know, never, ever think you're asking too many questions. Please keep them coming in. If you've got any questions or queries, then do get in touch with us. And, you know, I hope this helps.
Of course, you can send me an email direct if you want, Faith, as well. If you have any questions, just send it through the RNIB email and I will email you back.
Is this you trying to be helpful?
I'm just a nice, helpful guy, Stephen. You just don't realise it.
What's happened to you in the last week? What's happened? Right, okay. Let's move on. We have another email from Sharon, who's got in touch. She says, hello. Just wanted to say I started listening to your podcast and downloaded the Seeing AI app straight away. I thought it was very well put together, and as you say, Stephen, it will benefit visually impaired people greatly. Well done to Microsoft for being so forward-thinking. I look forward to learning more about it and using it, as it will help a person's eyes when they are tired. They can just use the app and not strain them. I love your show and Claire's Potter's Picks. Just one thought I remember when a listener said when you played music bits on the show, it was slightly annoying. I disagree. You should have snippets of music as it livens the show up. How dare you? Well, you do a great
less
show.
Talking.
Which is, yeah, less talking, more music. Right, okay. You do a great show, which is fun and informative. The reviews are really helpful. Kind regards, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Lovely to hear you part of the show. And by the way, she just sent a follow-up email saying, I sent an email about how good I thought Seeing AI is. I've just used it to read my gas meter to take a reading. It's amazing what it can do for a person who is visually impaired. Microsoft have given visually impaired people real freedom to do these things themselves. Incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's just such a great app.
I used it for exactly the same thing recently. Yep, and it read out easily. I also used TapTapC, which also read out the actual meter reading when I took a picture of it. So, yeah, it's so useful.
Yeah, there's so many different things I've used it for to just provide independence, like she talks about, you know, boot up sequence on my computer. Actually, the other day, for the first time in I don't remember how many years, actually read The Fortune and a Fortune Cookie by myself. I'm always having to hand it to somebody and say, what does this say? And they read The Fortune, and the Seeing AI app actually picked it up and read it really well. So yeah, just to give you that independence, no matter what it is, it's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. John the Soul Man Flynn has been in touch. Now, I have to say, John is a very positive guy, but not in this email, he's not. He says, yeah, regarding Seeing AI, it works if you have an iPhone 6 and above. I have a 5S and it isn't that good. You don't get the product channel. I was very disappointed. For me to gain the benefits, I would need to get a new phone. Yuck. And currently there is no version for, in quotes, Android. Right, okay, well, we'll leave it there, John. Wow, I didn't know that. But I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it, that some of the functions won't be available on certain phones. And the 5S, that's an old phone now. Sorry, John, but it is.
That it is an old phone, but it's interesting to me that the product function doesn't work, because that's just a matter of scanning barcodes yeah. from products. And I know that even as far back as an iPhone 4S or 5, barcode scanning was available. There was an app, and it's still around. People have questioned this, but it's still supported, is Digitize. It was a very good barcoding app for scanning, and I still use it once in a while, although Seeing AI is replacing it as well. But Digitize was useful back on my iPhone 5, and it worked just fine. So it's interesting that Microsoft is omitting the product channel with Seeing AI, because it is capable of doing it on an iPhone 5S.
It's a bit ridiculous, because, I mean, yeah, I've just said something there about the iPhone 5S, saying it's actually quite an old phone. Do you know, in reality, it's not an old phone.
No.
It's not that old.
No. Technology-wise, it may be, but really, it's otherwise not. Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to another email we get in from Nadia, who says, hello, I was wondering if you know a command for getting NVDA software to read continuously. I've been trying to use it in conjunction with Adobe Digital Editions to read an ebook bought from Kobo. I used to use JAWS, but some combinations of JAWS, Adobe Digital Editions, and Windows 8 didn't work. My computer kept crashing. I've been playing with NVDA, but the one thing I can't get it to do is read continuously, whether it's a document or an ebook. Normally, insert plus down arrow is the command, and the internet confirmed that, but NVDA just skips through the text really fast for a few seconds and then cuts out. He's hoping you can help. Guys?
No, that's a strange one, because, well, firstly, there's two different layouts you can use with NVDA. That's the full-size keyboard layout, in which case the numpad is used quite a lot, and the laptop layout. So it does vary to which keyboard layout you're using. But I do use the NVDA key and the down arrow, but I press it twice. So it's NVDA key and hit the down arrow twice, and that will read everything from where you are, the current cursor, downwards. That's the one I use a lot, and that does seem to work fine. NVDA key B for Bravo, that will read the entire window, if you like. So if you're on a website, it will read all the toolbar at the top and the browser title bar at the top, but that will also read everything. I'm just slightly confused why it would read something, you know, for a short while and then suddenly stop. That is slightly odd. But try the NVDA key, whichever it is, insert or caps lock, and hit the down arrow twice.
Okay. Nadia says, Do you know why it is that the Amazon Echo sometimes says it can't find Kindle books, even when they're in your Kindle library? I read both Kindle and Kobo books. Okay, well, I'm just going to completely blow all this out of the water. I know the answer to this. I'll tell you why I know this, because I had the same issue myself, and I couldn't find a particular book. Now, I think if I'm right in saying this, that the Kindle library, although I've not used it for this yet, but what you can do is you can have certain Kindle books read out in synthetic voice using your Echo. However...
Whisper speak.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. However, some of the books aren't capable of it. And that's the problem.
Absolute disgrace.
Yeah, so that's why you have some books that will work and some books won't. So even though you might have, say, 10 Kindle books in your library, and you ask your Amazon Echo to read one of them, that one you might choose might not be able to be read synthetically. So that's the problem. So that's something I would certainly feed back to Amazon about, because I think they'd be interested to hear about that. Because obviously that seems like a bit of a mismatch of thinking on that one.
It's just ridiculous how some books aren't allowed to be read by a speech synthesizer. It's all copyright and
well, that's it. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. But
yeah. Well, you tell them, Sean. You tell them.
I'm going to mute my mic. I'm outraged. it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm going to mute his mic in a minute. Right. Okay. Well, I hope that helps, Nadia. Now, also, just Gina, our final email for this week, who said, "Hello, all. Did you know of Blind Alive? Their podcasts do discuss accessible gym equipment." Sean.
Oh.
So, for listeners who missed last week, how dare you? Then you would have heard Sean ranting about going on an exercising spree. Yeah, you wanted to go on an exercising spree. I don't believe any of it. But apparently, the guys over at blindalive.com do talk about accessible gym equipment. So there you go. We can find
them. I've got Blind Alive in my podcast catcher as well. I haven't listened to it in a while, obviously. Sorry.
Stop listening to yourself on here.
I do.
So on so many things himself, he just has to take all the time to listen to himself alone, I guess.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's actually a good point. Mel Scott and Lisa Salinger over at Blind Alive offer really great information about health and fitness and exercise equipment. I've had them on the Life After Blindness podcast a couple of times.
Plug.
And they've been so plugged. Yeah, shameless plug. That's okay. And they've been really gracious with their time and talking about different things. So, yeah, that's a good resource for things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's enough podcast plugging for one day. Right. That is it for our show. I can't believe an hour just disappears like that, doesn't it? Every single time. I wish we had more time. But there you go. Thank you so much for being here, as always, and with us. If you've got a question that you'd like to put forward or a comment based on something we've said on the show, that usually is what it is, then you can email us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We genuinely do love getting your emails. And if you want to say something, if you've got a really long comment to make, then why not stick it in audio form? Why not record it on your phone or on your... any device, frankly. A lot of people are using the Victor Readers for it, or using an iPhone or a computer. TED Talk at rnib.org.uk. Remember, the podcast is also there as well, all the time. If you can't sleep and it's 3 a.m, you're thinking, I just need to hear three idiots talking about technology, then we're always available. We're open 24/7.
To send you to sleep.
We are the cure for insomnia. Do check it out on iTunes or wherever you got this podcast. You can find us there. That is it for this week. Tim and Sean, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you next time here on Tech Talk.